ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM is KWWN Las Vegas. K265EZ. From the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company. With Steve Cofield.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
To Adam Hill.
Oh, man. Hey.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
On ESPN Las Vegas.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, here we go on this Thursday, NBA Draft Thursday. Steve Cofield, Chrissy, Adam Hill, Young Schwab as well. Lots of draft talk today. We'll have live coverage of the draft as it kicks off in the 5 o'clock hour. Interesting day. I think there's going to be some unpredictability, and we'll give our take on players and also what the NBA draft is. We love the NBA draft, even though you don't like the NBA that much.
I like the draft much more than the season.
Yes. And it's funny, Young Schwab was just asking us about one prospect in Michael Porter, and he's like, what's the big deal, basically? There's no real body of work to judge. You know, if you've listened to this show, we've been telling you for probably 7-8 years now, this is something closer to the MLB draft than the NFL draft, the way it is right now. And it's only getting worse because one and done will be finished before, I think, the 2020-21 season.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get high school players back in it again. So it's now a draft based on mostly on projectability, and that makes it hard. We'll go back and look at last year's draft, and you can, if you want to grade last year's draft, you can, but you're a fool.
Yeah, it's way too early.
Way too early, and hey, sometimes, hell, we're going to get to my Nets full breakdown, how happy I am with Dwight Howard on the team, although that might change.
Yeah.
Just looking at the roster of, say, the Brooklyn Nets, and you're like, man, that Rondae Hollis-Jefferson really never turned out. Well, he averaged 13 points a game last year. Pretty solid player. He's 23. Yeah. He seems like he should be 32.
Yeah, it's time to give up on him. Been in the league for like 5 years, no more.
Right?
Don't want to see him anymore.
But you forget how young these guys are when they come in, and a lot of times, you know, dudes aren't developing to their fourth or fifth year.
Yeah, and at the same time, like you mentioned, it's about projectability. And he said, well, you're kind of going on high school if you're looking at Michael Porter because you didn't really see him last year. Being seen is only a negative. And it's been like that in the draft for a long time. The more you're seen, and the more you're seen against high-level competition, the more people pick apart your game. So when you're coming out of high school, or you're coming out of Europe, like, wow, this guy can do this, this, and this. I can't wait to see what he does. And then you play against, like, players more on your level in college, and you're like, I don't know, really, that 15-foot jumper, not that good. There was times where he lapsed defensively in games. The more you're seen, the more your game is just completely picked apart. And that's why the fascination with European players, with high school players, with first-year guys is where it is. Because it's only a negative when people see you play. That's how it's been for a long time.
It's only a negative, but it can be a negative.
Yeah.
Can be a positive, too, though.
Rarely.
Well, it can be a positive if you're not Michael Porter and you weren't a year and a half ago the number one player in the country. Remember what a big deal it was when first Washington paid Michael his dad, right?
Yeah.
To have him on the staff. Then that blew up because Romar went bye-bye, and then Missouri paid Michael Porter his dad to be an assistant. And then he got hurt. But, you know, a year and a half ago, that guy would have been in the running for the number one pick. We're going to get to Michael Porter Jr. because I think he is one of the big stories of the top 10, or who knows? Maybe he'll be a guy who everyone freaks out about and slides. We'll see. A couple of cleanups from yesterday. One, we had that World Cup story with a referee who apparently was asking for a player's jersey after the game. He's now denying that.
Yeah, and FIFA is denying it.
Well, of course FIFA is going to deny that.
Right, but like, you know, we heard about this story. We kind of talked about it and said it was you know, unforgivable and he should never ref again, which I kind of agree. But when they come out and say it just didn't happen, like, where did it come from? I guess a player could just throw that out there, like, oh, man, they were so on their side that they were asking for jerseys. It didn't seem that way. And by the way, American referee. So I don't know
is if that's right?
embarrassing for us or what.
Total clown.
Worse than that. He's not just from America. He's from New Jersey.
Ah! Another blight on my fine home state, USOB.
Yes.
Embarrassing us.
A statement from FIFA said, it is with regret and disappointment that following the Group B game between Portugal and Morocco, FIFA has learned of reports in the media concerning referee Mark Geiger. It has been claimed that Mr. Geiger asked for the shirt of the captain of Portugal during the first half interval. Mr. Geiger strongly refutes these claims and categorically states that such request was never made.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that's it. It's over.
Okay.
Story over. Didn't do it. Everybody made it up.
What else is happening in the World Cup today? Kind of shocking?
Oh,
at least the margin?
Argentina was a disaster.
Who did they play? What was the score?
They dropped the game 3-0, and it was
against
they were
Croatia.
I literally just watched the game and played Croatia. I literally just came there for right now. I was just sweating out the knowledge in my car as I drove over here. Croatia actually looked like the better side for most of the game, and it was 0-0. Argentina had a disastrous play and goal where it was a back pass. The goalie kind of whiffed on the kick and popped it up right to a Croatia player who knocked it in the goal, and then they really couldn't get anything going. Argentina was really ordinary, and that's kind of a compliment. They were below average, and they get out there, didn't really get many chances. Then Croatia got just a brilliant goal in the 80th minute to go up 2-0, and then the last one was more, you know, Argentina trying to get everybody forward, and Croatia getting a late one. But, man, it was not the kind of performance Argentina wanted after drawing in the first game. They're in a load of trouble. They can still advance with a win, but they are in a really, really bad spot going into the third game of group play there.
So who's in the biggest trouble of some of the big boys?
I would say Argentina right now.
538 was asking about Brazil, Germany, or Argentina.
Yeah, and, you know, Brazil still has opportunity, Germany still has opportunity, and there's still opportunity for Argentina as well. Like I said, they're not out of it, but they are in a really bad spot as far as trying to advance. They're going to be, you know, they're going to need to win and have some help because now their goal differential is not going to be where they want it either. They're -3 after today.
Another cleanup. Boy, I was all fired up to become a Nets fan again. My favorite guy, D-Ho.
Not anymore.
14 straight years of double-double work. One of the only players in history to do that. First 14 years. How about that? 16-12 last year.
Your guy.
Steal of a deal. Traded nothing to get a 16-12 guy, rim protector, second-round pick. This year, second-round pick. Next year, looking for the jersey online. They'll be sent to some third world country. It looks like he's going to be bought out. Damn it!
I don't think they're going to make him.
Damn it!
I don't think those.
I don't get D-Ho in Brooklyn.
Well, you could probably order like a order a custom one. Have them just make it for you, stitch it up.
Sucks.
With a D-Ho, that would work.
That would have given the Nets a roster with the number one, number two, and number three picks in recent, well, just drafts. Howard, D'Angelo Russell, and sort of Okafor.
Ton of talent.
Who I think a lot of people didn't even realize was with the Nets, but they kind of have the rights to him if no one else wants him. Which, as we're getting ready for the NBA draft, ain't good with Okafor going into his fifth year. That's not a good career mark. Kind of plays up to the point that DeAndre Ayton was making yesterday when people were ripping on him, and he's like, hey, success is getting to that second contract. He's right.
Of course he is.
He's right. That's the life-changing money. The money coming out is very good, but we know people can blow that pretty easily. Life-changing money comes with that second deal.
Yeah, and I think the problem that he made was being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what a lot of players think, and that's what a lot of players are looking at, and they should be. Really, for the individual interest, that's what they should be doing. But people don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear the truth. They don't like it, and they get annoyed by it, and people kind of lashed out a little bit at him, but he's being honest. And why wouldn't... Again, we said it yesterday, but why wouldn't that be your goal? That would mean that you're having success, that, you know, probably a team that's enjoying your success, or at least one that thinks you're going to add to their success and help them win games, wants you. So what would be the problem with trying to get to that second contract and getting a big deal there?
Damn. Dwight Howard, 32 years old, going to be bought out by the Nets. And it's not like they don't need the help. And it's not like they don't need a rim protector. And it's not like he's absolutely awful. Like I said, 16-12 a year ago. But, boy, I guess his attitude every stop, he's got a shelf life of like 2 years. Brendan Haywood on SiriusXM talked about just how lousy the relationship with D-Ho and Charlotte got.
The locker room hated Dwight Howard. I'm not sure if Charlotte is rebuilding or if they're just trying to get Dwight Howard out of there, but it was clear the locker room did not like Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard has to look at this trade, look himself in the mirror, and realize, why am I a guy that has averaged a double-double every year of my career, but I'm getting passed all around the league like I'm trash?
Right.
And it's simply because of how he goes about his business day-to-day in that locker room. Now, he's not the guy that's running around slapping people in the face, but hard to deal with, doesn't accept responsibility, cries a lot, has bad tendencies, awful body language.
And just think, 5 years ago, L.A., pathetically, the Lakers were begging Dwight Howard to stay.
Not Kobe.
No, Kobe was not.
No.
He went on to the Rockets. They got tired of him in 3 years, although he helped turn around the franchise, made him into a winner, 50-plus win team. Goes to the Hawks, then Charlotte, and he's now at $213 million earned
success
for his career. With that number in mind, listen to Haywood here, who's like, hopefully this is a wake-up call.
In Atlanta, everybody heard that the team was cheering when Dwight Howard got traded. They knew they were going to be sorry, but they were like, we would rather be sorry. We would rather suck than have this guy come back to our locker room for another year. And I'm hearing the same things in Charlotte. The people I talked to behind the scenes, it was like, guys were just sick and tired of his act. I hope this is a wake-up call for Dwight. I still think he has some good years left. But he has to look himself in the mirror and say, why do all my teammates not like me? What can I do differently?
Willie?
No. Why wouldn't he have before?
I know.
Like, he just mentioned Atlanta, they were like, yeah, we don't care that we're going to be bad. Go. We don't like you. We don't want you here. And that wasn't enough? You're banished to Charlotte.
Does he get signed by a playoff contender? We're talking 20 teams are in the playoff hunt next year.
I wouldn't mess with, I wouldn't bring
the top 20 teams in the NBA will not look at Dwight Howard after a 16-12 year and shot free throws a little better, like 57%.
I think you do is you sign them. If you have nobody else in your team, I guess you sign them. But you don't, if you're like one of the contenders, like, let's just throw it out. Like, nobody is going to like bring him in as a guy who makes a couple million dollars to fill in on one of these like super team rosters. Like, nobody's going to do that.
No. Will he do it? Would he be open to making $5 or $6 million to go to the Warriors?
Yeah, maybe.
But I mean, like,
chemistry.
Would that be a coup, or could he actually ruin chemistry on the Warriors?
He absolutely could.
Imagine his attitude with Dr. Dre.
Yeah, it'd be great. That would be the ultimate subtraction by addition.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Yeah. So Dwight Howard, former number one pick all the way back in 2004. He's only 32. It's amazing, right? 14 straight years of double-doubles, and now three straight teams that are 20-win teams. Nets 128 are like, eh. Atlanta tried it, Charlotte tried it, and now the Nets are like, we're not even going to try it. Not going to try it. All right, we got all the betting odds for the high-profile players in this draft. The draft will kick off somewhere around 5 o'clock, so we'll lead into it. We'll give you updates as the draft is going on. I think the big stories today are the discussion of the big, you know, because this is one of the best high-end big man drafts in recent history for the NBA. But what does that mean? The little guys, I think there's a team that desperately needs a little guy, but I think it's going to be stupid and take a big guy again. And one of those little guys, hotly debated, Trae Young. We got to get into what we both think, what the audience thinks of the Oklahoma Star.
Join the conversation on Twitter at Cofield & Co.
Passing a big semi can be dangerous and deadly. So when you pass one, look for both its headlights in your mirror before you pull back in front. That's a safe distance for both of you. Big rigs need big room. Learn more at badgeonboard.com.
We're here with Chuck, founder of Dollar Loan Center. Now, I know I hate the real treadmill, but what's this debt treadmill I hear about all the time?
Well, a debt treadmill is a trap with a lot of payday loan companies out there, especially some of the online scammers. It basically means you keep paying interest over and over and your principal never goes down.
So my loan would never get paid off in that situation?
Exactly, and it's not a good treadmill to be on. We make sure you pay a little principal with every payment you make at Dollar Loan Center. It's called a fully amortized installment loan. If you pay it off quick, great, major savings. But if you need more time to pay it off, even a year or so, at least you're paid in full at the end because you were chipping away at the principal on every payment.
Like it should be. Thanks, Chuck. Get up to $5,000 in just minutes at Dollar Loan Center. We have over 50 locations and our friendly Dollar Loan Center staff are ready to help. You can also apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com.
Licensed by Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. To review loan qualifications, visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
My Odds from William Hill Sportsbook lets you create and bet on your own prop bets. Tweet us at William Hill US with the hashtag My Odds. That's William Hill US with the hashtag My Odds. And we'll reply if your suggested prop bet has been accepted. You can also view all other My Odds prop bets by clicking on the My Odds category in the William Hill Sports Betting app or kiosk. More ways to bet, more ways to win. William Hill Sportsbook. This is more.
Some guys are car crazy. Others are wild about the outdoors. Me, I'm a sleep nut. Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress, and I'm so psyched about Tempur-Pedic's new Adapt mattresses. They actually adapt to your body's changing needs throughout the night, constantly relieving pressure and adjusting temperature while you sleep. You gotta try a Tempur-Pedic Adapt mattress today at Best Mattress, where you get same-day delivery and 0% financing. Best Mattress, home of the 120-day guarantee. Sleep easy, friends.
Michael E. Minden. Jewelers, celebrate the moment.
There's magic in a diamond.
There's power in gold.
It's a perfect combination that will never grow old. Make the moment magic, come do me right.
No one does it better.
Well, you better get it right. Michael E. Minden.
Gotta have it now.
Michael E. Minden, gonna show you how.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Michael E. Minden, diamond jewelers, celebrate the moment.
Chevrolet is your home for right now. You can lease a new 2018 Chevy Tahoe LS Custom Midnight Edition for just $399 a month for 39 months with just $19.99 down plus taxes and fees.
Woo!
Finley Chevrolet, home of the located on 215 Bellway between Rainbow and Jones, or visit us anytime at FinleyChevy.com. Find new roads.
On approved credit, 2025 title and $499 documentation fee. MSRP 46245. 10K miles a year. Must have current GM lease and includes 2000 dealer flex cash. While supplies last. See dealer for details. Offer expires 6/30/18.
Hi, I'm Glenn Lerner. If the insurance companies treated you fairly after you'd been in an accident, we wouldn't be in business. They have teams of adjusters, investigators, and attorneys that are all working against you, and they want to pay you as little as possible for your injuries. When we call, the insurance companies listen. We'll fight hard to get you all the money you deserve and try to keep you out of the courtroom. Don't settle for less. Make one call, that's all, to 877-1500. I'm attorney Glenn Lerner.
Glenn Lerner is the way to go. Call 877-1500.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-925-5048 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-925-5048 to take your call now. Call 800-925-5048. That's 800-925-5048. Again, 800-925-5048.
Southern Nevada residents, play 18 of Jack Nicklaus's favorite golf holes with our Bears Best Golf and Baseball Summer Special. Pay $51 any day after 10 a.m. and you get one round of golf, cart, and 251's reserve tickets valued at $30. Call 804-8500. Get golf, shared cart, two baseball tickets, all for $51. Ask for the Bears Best 51's Golf Special. For tee times, call 804-8500. That's 804-8500.
Now, back
to Cofield and Company.
We want Marcus Williams in this ring. We got a young backcourt, but Marcus Williams is talented, is experienced, and we gonna get him, baby.
Tell me what you thought of the pick of Bonkman.
Bonkman was good, but Isaiah's a bum. We need to fire Isaiah as soon as possible and get somebody who knows how to manage a team and put this team where we need to be. And that's winning a championship for New York.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
Say go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
Say go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
We're back on track on the floor, scoring Morris 94, and the Knicks are hardcore, and I'll tell you like this, we ain't never looked sharper. With Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper, it's the Knicks, and we're back on pace.
Oh, the great memories. Knicks of 94. That roster could definitely beat the Warriors, right?
No.
Did we talk about them last week? And we're like, Warriors minus 3,000 favorite against that Knicks team in 94 and 95, which was really good. Every year won like 57 games, made an NBA final. You hear 12 years later, as they were struggling under Isaiah's a bum. Got to bring a winner to New York.
Did they get Ronaldo Balkman?
They got Ronaldo Balkman, and they had another pick. I think it was 28th. Balkman was like the 20th pick. And that was the 2006 draft. And then they took something called Marty Collins. Remember him? It's a guard out of Temple.
Good pick.
No.
Oh.
They didn't get a whole lot of either one of them.
How'd the Isaiah era turn out?
With a lot of debt.
Yes.
About it.
It didn't.
That was his calling card. Salary cap hell.
It wasn't good.
Draft's tough, man. Even fans. That fan sounded really knowledgeable.
No, the Bogman's all right. Then that's what he said.
Yeah. And then he wanted Marcus Williams. Remember that draft? Because my Nets got Marcus Williams, and all before the draft, I'm like, Marcus Williams is not a first-round pick. He's a chubby fat guy who excelled like a slightly bigger Khalid El-Amin. Listen, I like short fat guys who can play hoops, but I'm not spending a first-round pick on him.
Khalid El-Amin was maybe the fattest point guard in recent memory.
He was good, though.
He was real good. I liked him. He's like a bowling ball coming down the floor on the fast break.
How unpredictable is the NBA draft? Like I was saying earlier, it's become even less predictable because the dudes being drafted are so young. Is that really the case when you look back at previous drafts? You ready for the 2006 draft? Top 10. Andrea Bargnani, number one.
Okay.
LaMarcus Aldridge. Nice. Adam Morrison, Tyrus Thomas, Sheldon Williams.
I thought Tyrus Thomas was going to be awesome.
Brandon Roy was good, but then he got his knee all jacked up. Randy Foy, longtime veteran. Rudy Gay's been pretty solid. He was the eighth pick. The big Irishman, also a Baker, as you guys profiled in the paper. Patrick O'Brien.
Yes.
That's when the Warriors were not good still at drafting.
Yeah.
And then after that...
He was from Bradley, I believe?
He was.
Yeah.
He was. Boy, after that, what a nightmare. Boy, there was not a lot in this draft. The next 10 were a disaster. Well, J.J. Redick actually turned out to be pretty decent, but Hilton Armstrong, Thabo Sefolosha,
okay.
Ronnie Brewer, Cedric Simmons, Rodney Carney, Sean Williams, Quincy Doobie.
Okay. Rutgers?
Yes. Balkman! And actually, Rondo went 21st. Kyle Lowry won 24. So there are players. Yeah. There's always players.
Of course.
There's always going to be, five really good players out of the first round. It's just finding them, man.
Yeah, where do they go?
It's hard.
That's the question. It's not always going to be the top five guys. Just because you're not in the top five or the top 10 doesn't mean you're not going to get a great player out of the draft.
And now the game has changed. Like you heard, stretch on a big man. I don't mean a stretch big man. A reach on a big man. Patrick O'Brien going in the top 10, right? Seven foot, upside. Got to grab him. Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore. It is amazing to watch, say, like Mo Bamba. 7 foot. 235. Might have the longest wingspan we've ever seen going into the NBA draft. His workout on ESPN yesterday, three, just shooting threes.
That's what they want to see.
Like, what happened in the days of, like, get inside? The game's changed.
Well, the best would have been the Mo Bamba workout of what he really is just have somebody, like, throw up layups against him and have him throw them into the crowd.
Okay. Like,
that's his real workout.
Yeah.
I mean, offensively, he's a work in progress, and he's going to be. It's interesting that what teams want is somebody who can stretch the floor and, you know, step out and shoot from all spots and face up and play that way. But, I mean, he's ready on defense.
I'm not even sure, and this is the whole thing with the big man. I actually think we've overdone it now. So there's a great story up on ESPN.com. College big men struggle to adapt to the demands of the evolving NBA. Every big man doesn't have to be able to shoot. Right, they don't have to be pick and pop guys. If you're 7 feet tall with a 90-inch wingspan, you don't have to be pick and pop guy. You have to be pick and roll guy.
Yeah.
You got to be able to catch the ball. And what's the most important thing? You've got to be able to defend when other bigs go out there.
Right.
That's the most important part. And boy, oh boy, was it a wake up call? This story is great. You know, just going back to the days of like Roy Hibbert. That was a guy that was coveted.
Yeah.
But I mean, Roy Hibbert now. There's no way he could play.
No.
He's 7 foot and 290 pounds.
He's pretty slow a foot.
Yeah, you can't have a guy like that going out to the perimeter. It's just not going to work.
Right. And again, as you're saying, you know, you want a big guy who's versatile because there's too many guys in the league that can step outside and that can hurt you that way, that can either face up or step out and hit a jumper. And if you're just strictly a in-the-paint defensive center, it's just not going to work, not only because your offense is limited, which is what people circle and point at, but also because you're not going to be able to defend a whole wide variety of guys you're going to have to defend at this level. There's so many different players that are quote-unquote fives or even fours that you have to be able to do a wide variety of things defensively.
How about this group? Led by, because the story really is about Ethan Happ, he's a good player at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, 6'10", 6'11", but can't shoot threes yet.
Right.
Right? May not be able to defend on the perimeter. He went back to Wisconsin. West Virginia's got a big man. Konate, Azubuike, and any other Kansas big man in any other era is a top 10 pick. He's a monster.
Yeah.
You know, he's the rim protector, but he might have deficiencies away from the hoop. Your boy, Mike Daum, right? Bruno Fernando. These are all really solid big man prospects. All of them were told, nah, go back. You're not going to get drafted.
You're not ready.
You're not going to get drafted. Which brings us to, how many mock drafts have you read?
Only a couple.
That include the second round? Are you seeing any Brandon McCoy?
I saw him at a 37 spot today somewhere.
All right. I mean, unfortunately for Brandon, this is not the right era.
No.
You know, this story we're talking about, you know, the big, and I think Brandon McCoy will be able to shoot from the perimeter. I don't want him shooting threes,
yeah. But
I think he can develop an 18-footer. He's got good form. Can he defend on the perimeter?
No, not right now.
Not right now. He might not ever be able to. I mean,
that's the crazy part. Like, yeah. He does have the athleticism, I think. He doesn't have the explosive athleticism.
Right.
Like, he's not a jump out of the gym guy. You know, we saw he actually plays under the rim some, which is another problem that he has. But he's got.
I love that. That's a problem he has.
It is.
He's got a back to the basket game. He's got a little jump hook.
Well,
we hate that.
Well, he also gets the ball in traffic under the basket and lays it in instead of dunking. I mean, that is a problem.
Yeah.
So I mean, there is deficiencies in that manner. But I think the issue, you know, a couple issues for him. First of all, I think the lack of effort on the defensive end shows up on tape, and I think the other one is. We were just talking about it. As a center, you don't necessarily have to be a guy that can step outside and face up and shoot, but you do have to be able to cover those guys. And, you know, we saw the biggest problems that UNLV ran into defensively this year was when teams had guys that they could stretch McCoy out to the perimeter against, and McCoy trying to defend from the perimeter in was a train wreck. It was a disaster. And that's something, you know, maybe you can learn, but I think if you're a scout and you look at that, consistently getting beat and not even putting up any kind of any kind of defense whatsoever on guys that just go to the basket on you, that's a problem.
He had difficulties across the board.
Yeah.
And he got dominated in Mountain West conference competition or action at times by unheralded dudes who were 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah.
All right, we turn the page. We're going to get to the 51 series against Reno as we're going to try to hook up with the Aces manager and former major leaguer, Mike Lansing.
Hit up Cofield & Company on Facebook. Like ESPN Las Vegas. I remember when I lived in Vegas back in the day, we'd get comps for game tickets, meals, basically free stuff. It's what the town used to be run on. Well, there's actually a Ford dealership that still does it. Ford Country in the Valley Auto Mall. With every new car purchase, you get free registration, free tint, and a free cheeseburger. If you're going to buy a new car, why not get one with all the free stuff you can get? It's the Vegas way, and it's probably why they're the number one Ford dealer in all of Nevada. Go see my guy Brad and his team at Ford Country. It's a free country.
The Mitsubishi Motors Summer Season Pass sales event. That's 0% financing for 72 months and no payments for 90 days on select models. Take the all-new 2018 Eclipse Cross with its striking design and advanced technology. Start a road trip with up to 7 passengers in the 2018 Outlander. Or be adventure-capable and energy-efficient with the all-new 2018 Outlander PHEV. Hurry into your local Mitsubishi Motors dealer. Exciting offers end July 5th. Special financing and option of deferred payment available through Ally Financial. Subject to approved credit and insurance. Price, terms, and vehicle availability may vary. May not combine with factory cash rebates. See your participating dealer for details. Offer valid from June 1st through July 5th, 2018.
Diamondback Land Surveying is the one-stop shop for all your land surveying needs. Whether you're building a block wall or the next Taj Mahal, check them out on the web at diamondbacklandsurveying.com or call them at 888-594-DBLS. That's 888-594-3257.
Now, back to Cofield and Company.
All right, rolling on here on this Thursday, getting ready for the NBA draft. Starting up in the 5 o'clock hour to get ready for the border war. It's not really a border war, but rivalry. We know we have one on the college basketball side and college football side with Reno. The Reno Aces are in town for a four-game series. Mike Lansing joins us, longtime major leaguer. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are good. We are good.
Good.
So I want to go back in the history books before we talk about the current sitch with Reno, and I actually want to go all the way back to your days coming up in Wyoming. How did you actually land at Wichita?
Well, basically, we didn't have high school baseball in Wyoming, so we had summer. Yeah, it's too cold.
Okay,
so. So we would play American Legion during the summer, and we fortunately had a very good team and a lot of support. So we traveled around and played an 80-game schedule. I mean, we would travel all over the place. I mean, Colorado, Utah, and just fortunately enough, my father and I basically kind of recruited myself to a bunch of places. I sent out tons of letters and videos or whatever else needed to be sent out to colleges, and you know, a mutual friend of mine and knew the pitching coach at Wichita State and said, hey, you might want to look at this kid. And I was in a tournament in Colorado and they were there recruiting guys, and actually a kid out of Vegas was there as well, that ended up going to Wichita State. But long story short, that's how they got to see me, just kind of word of mouth and me being around at a bunch of tournaments.
And tell people how good you guys were when you were there.
We were good.
Yeah. I remember.
We won the national championship one year. We got basically third the year before. We had a bunch of talented guys. So we were pretty good.
Who'd you play with that people would remember names of?
You know what? There's a lot of guys that got to the big leagues. I don't know if they're big names. I mean, yeah. I don't consider myself a name that people would really remember. Pat Mears played with the Twins and the Pirates for probably 8-10 years. Greg Brummett was on our team. He played with the Giants, pitched for the Giants. Eric Wedge was on our team. He had a bigger stint. He was a manager for the Cleveland Indians for 7-8 years. Our second baseman, P.J. Forbes, had a little time with the Angels in the big leagues. And it's, you know, there was a bunch of guys. It's a hard game, and it's hard to get to the big leagues and professional ball. So, you know, we had a lot of guys that were very good college players, you know, got a little bit of chance and professional.
How did they build such a power there at that time?
You know what? I always thought that they just recruited athletes. And the guys that were there before me and that I came in and played with that were older, I mean, they were all just very good athletes. Half the team was shortstops in high school. And, you know, other than being a pitcher, but the pitchers probably played shortstop as well. But you know, and you just get, you get those athletes, and you get it, then you get seen on TV, and you're have all this success, and they're, you know, around in the Midwest. Wichita State was well known for baseball, and it was a place to go to play baseball.
Mike Lansing's with us, working with the Reno Aces. We were just talking about his college career at Wichita State. I want to get to your major league career here in a second. One last question on Wichita State. Do you follow the school as far as basketball now? Because, my God, what a transformation the last 10 years or so, you know, with the backing of the Koch brothers. That happened, you know, that that helps. Money behind a program helps a lot. Do you follow what they're doing in hoops?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
No, and I still have a couple buddies that do that I played with that live back in Wichita, and so we keep in touch, but I follow the basketball program quite a bit, and the success over the last, I don't know, 5 years, you know, getting to the Final Four, being undefeated. I mean, that's, they've accomplished quite a few things other than just winning a national championship.
Let's talk about your time with the Expos. This, again, is, you know, Adam's approaching 40, I'm approaching 50, you're slightly older than me. So there's a lot of people out there who don't remember the Expos of the 90s. Go back to 1994 when you were first coming up. I mean, that was the shortened season, if I'm correct, right? And you guys were a freaking juggernaut.
Yeah, that was, that's another team I could say, well, we were pretty good. if I remember right, it was When we went on strike, I think we had won, I don't know, somewhere 20 out of 22 games. That's clear back when, you know, they had just the four divisions. It was America, or the National League West and National League East, and that was pretty much it. And at the time, we had a six-game lead on the Braves, and, you know, the Braves were everything back then. So that was a big deal. But we had a very good team, and that was one of the most fun teams to play on I ever played on.
How difficult is it to see Montreal without baseball?
Well, you know what? There's a good core of baseball fans up there. It's just is hard. It's hard to find them. You know, they want baseball back, and they try to do the exhibition games every year. And I think the city would support it if they got a new stadium. I mean, there's a lot of variables that, you know, need to go into that, obviously, and I'm not adverse really on what's going on. So it just kind of has gone away, and you don't really think of it, you know, until the city comes up, and then you think, yeah, that was a great place to play.
So you are with Reno now. Is that a great place to be?
Reno?
Yeah.
I enjoy the city. You know, there's certain areas. I mean, the ballpark's not in the greatest of areas, you know, but you get outside of town and, you know, where I live with other coaches. I like the city. It's pretty, and it reminds me of Denver, because that's where I live now, because of the climate, the cool, you know, it's got the mountains there, but it's hot in the summer. So it's, you know what, I enjoy the town, and it is what it is. That's where I work, so I better like something.
At any point, you know, after being a part of the organization, do they tell you that you're supposed to hate Las Vegas?
No, they actually don't. That hasn't really come up. Other than you hate Las Vegas because you got to come and play 110, 115 degree weather.
Right.
But no, that's really never brought up. You know, totally different, two different organizations. It's not really a city rivalry thing. But you know, it's fun to come here.
It's a college deal, honestly, between Reno and UNLV, and it's getting more intense now that UNLV was the basketball power, and all of a sudden, Reno, Nevada, has just turned into a monster, probably a top five team this coming season.
Yeah, they were very good this year, and I it's kind of funny how this is my second year there, but you spend a year there last year, and then you just kind of follow them because I was around there, and obviously the campus is close to where our field is, and you know, so you see these things, but they do have a very good program, and they're going to be strong again.
Mike Lansing's with us, former major leaguer, logged just about 10 years in the majors. Remember him from the Expos, finished up with the Red Sox. Talk about the balance when you're coaching at, and Greg Gross is the manager, you're coaching at AAA, the kind of the balance between making sure you have people ready to go for the big club and also developing younger guys.
Well, that is the tricky thing. You know, it's A lot of the guys are free agent guys that are on our team that our organization picks up. You don't have a lot of homegrown guys that have, you know, come up through the system, because either then a lot of those guys either get traded or they're already in the big leagues. But you know what? It's a lot of fun because guys have either tasted some time in the big leagues or they're very close. You know, and so they want to get back. And the good thing is with our coaching staff is that we have a ton of baseball experience, major league experience. So these guys, they listen. You know, they're very respectful. But it is, it's you're trying to get these guys so they're prepared when their time comes and the big league team calls. Hey, yeah, is he ready? Yeah, he can help you out. Or, you know, you're still trying to develop these kids. There's nowhere else to go because they don't need to be an A ball or double A, and they're not quite there to the big league level yet to be there. So, you know, you're just trying to get them better. And while you're trying to keep guys fresh and ready to go to the big league. So there's a fine line, but it's enjoyable, you know. And you know how close these guys are, and they know how close they are. So you get a pretty good intensity out of these guys.
You kind of joked about the. You know, the heat here a little bit ago, but you're getting ready to play, you know, guys are getting ready to play a game. Is there anything that you do differently to prepare for a game or tell the players, like, this is different when it is the hottest day of the year? It's like 115 today.
Well, fortunately, I haven't been outside yet. Yeah. I have not left the hotel, and I haven't gone and done anything. I've been just chilling out today. So, no, there's, you know, other than, hey, you got to drink tons of water. You got to stay hydrated. There's nothing you can do about it. You just got to reserve your energy. Like, you know, we don't have batting practice today. I'm not even sure we'll have it at all this series just because it's so draining and, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it and you don't want to kill yourself for the game. So it's more of just pacing yourself and make sure you're ready. But, you know, you can't really get out there and go all after it before the game even starts. So it's just more basically conserving your energy.
I think he's hurt right now, but you guys got have a guy, Cody Decker, who we're pretty familiar with here on the show. He's got a big personality. How is that to deal with when you got players like that?
How is it
like
to
that?
Deal with?
Yeah,
you got what a pain in the ass he is.
he's a trip, man. That guy, he's got it all going on, man. He's all over the place. He's nonstop. I don't know whether it's all the social media stuff, doing interviews. Hey, you know what? If you enjoy all that and that's what you want to do, I got no problem with it. That's, you know, you got to enjoy what you're doing. And, you know, baseball provides these guys and it's provided myself with lots of opportunities. And you know what? If you take advantage of them, there's nothing with that. But Cody's a good dude, man. He's a trip, but he enjoys what he does and he works hard and he is on our DL right now. So, but he is going to be on this trip. So.
Well, I mean, and I expect it, you know, to like him. He's a good dude. We really enjoy him around here. But I just mean, like, you have so many different players to manage, and everybody has different personalities. You got to work with people differently. How much is that a challenge as a coach to try to figure out, you know, how to work with this person, and how to bring it all together?
Well, you know what? There's a difference than when I used to play or, you know, things like that, because there are so many different things going on now in this world, and the guys. The things that they do or keep them busy with, but it's hard to mesh them all together. But you know what? You let these guys do their thing. You understand that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm sure when I was younger and playing, coaches would look at me going, "What is that guy's problem?" You know. But you got to let them do their thing, and as long as it's, you know, within the team concept of, you know, it's not taken away from things like that. But once you get on the field, it's you know, there's always going to be different personalities, and that's just the way the game is, and that's just the way life is. But once you get on the field, everybody's, you know, hey, they know how to do their job, and that's basically the bottom line.
So in closing, I wanted to ask you about a couple of guys who have had, you know, pretty solid taste of the majors. In one case, Clay Buchholz was there and is now up with the parent club with Zona. What do you think when you saw him? He came in for what, four starts? And that's a guy who's got a hell of a track record.
You know what? I don't even know if he got four starts. He might have. I mean, I thought it was more like two or three. At this, you know, and I obviously know who he is, and like you said, a track record. But it didn't look when he came to us, it wasn't like lights out stuff. So, but he knows how to pitch. That's the thing, and he's there for a reason. Then, and he went up there, and he's still there. But I think that's just probably wear and tear. And as you get older, hey, skills are different, and things are different. But he knows how to pitch, and I think that's how guys continue their careers, whether it's pitching or hitting, is that you use the experience you have and you figure out ways to get the job done, and I think that's what he's doing now.
Yeah, so crazy. He's 33 years old. He's been pretty solid in six starts with a 2.94. The other guy I wanted to ask about is Tomas, currently on the squad. This is a former 30-homer guy. What do you think it's going to take for him to get going again and, you know, launch back into the majors?
That's the toughest question. I mean, and we get that a lot. It's because you see this guy that, you know, makes a lot of money, but he's had success in the big leagues. I think, I don't know whether, you know, it's going to be with us or it's going to be with somebody else. I know he still loves to play. He's a good dude. He, you know, he can hit. It's just a matter of doing those things and getting himself back to where he needs to be. I'm not exactly sure what the answer is to that, you know? You want to see guys get back to where they were, and obviously if he started doing that and helping us, that'd be great as well, you know?
Hey, Mike, we appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks for reminiscing, and enjoy your time in Vegas. And like you said, stay hydrated. Go hit a pool.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll see you. There you go, former major leaguer Mike Lansing, working at AAA. Reno. Reno's in town taking on your Las Vegas 51s. Four-game series. Tonight is Dollar Beer Night. They've got the camo jersey going out on Saturday. And, yeah, the Diamondbacks are an interesting organization. They, that Yasmani Tomas had 31 home runs just a couple of years ago, and he cannot hit a AAA now.
Chris Davis.
It's amazing, right? I mean, it's not that bad, but I don't know. Maybe Chris Davis would go down. I don't even know if Chris Davis could hit freaking 250 right now in AAA.
It was
so bad. That Expos team we were talking about, I'm glad we brought up Wichita State, too, because I remember watching the College World Series late 80s, and you're like, what the hell? First of all, the colors of the uniform were, like, you don't really forget those. It was kind of pod squad colors. But that Expos team that he eventually made it up to, in his second year, they were 74-40.
Yeah.
414, and they canceled the season.
They have Moises Alou and Vlad Guerrero on that team?
They had Cliff Floyd just starting, 21. Lansing, Will Cordero, who was a good hitter as a shortstop, and then eventually got a 90s physique, became more of a DH.
Gotcha.
Like he and Julio Franco, like former middle infielders, and all of a sudden they were like 262.
Remember Julio Franco at the end? Playing first base and jacking homers?
Just massive. Sean Berry, and then the outfield was Moises Alou, Marquise Grissom, Larry Walker, backed up by 22-year-old Rondell White.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that was a great team.
And the pitching staff had some talent, too, with Ken Hill, Jeff Acero, and some young scrub who was trying to make his way.
Pedro
Martinez. Yep.
Not a bad squad.
Yep. Mel Rojas, Jeff Shaw. Jeff Shaw's kid's playing now. He's not really a kid either. Travis Shaw in Milwaukee.
There may be no Nationals if that season ended.
Explain that.
Well, maybe they would have had more traction and never moved.
If they had finished off the season, gone to the World Series, won a World Series.
Yeah.
Right? And
they were the hot team. They were the best team in the league at the time. Never know.
And then the funny thing is the next year, because remember the following year, they screwed it up again. They got a late start. They only played 144 games in 95.
Yeah.
But they never, the momentum was gone at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the fans were turned off to the fact that, hey, this is the best team we had a chance to finish it off. And I'm saying the fans in Montreal, more so than fans in general, best team we had a chance to close it out and never got a chance to.
What a nightmare. What a nightmare. Red carpet going down right now. Oh, look at that. The wonderful, affable, approachable commish of the NBA.
Use some of that integrity fee money to buy a new tie.
Adam Silver. We're actually going to hear from Don David Sternio, as we used to call him, David Stern. But I forgot some David Stern smarmy memories. We'll have those in What's Trending.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
I remember when I lived in Vegas back in the day, we'd get comps, game tickets, meals, basically free stuff. It's what the town used to be run on. Well, there's actually a Ford dealership that still does it. Ford Country in the Valley Auto Mall. With every new car purchase, you get free registration, free tint, and a free cheeseburger. If you're going to buy a new car, why not get one with all the free stuff you can get? It's the Vegas way, and it's probably why they're the number one Ford dealer in all of Nevada. Go see my guy Brad and his team at Ford Country. It's a free country.
The Mitsubishi Motors Summer Season Pass sales event. That's 0% financing for 72 months and no payments for 90 days on select models. Take the all-new 2018 Eclipse Cross with its striking design and advanced technology. Start a road trip with up to 7 passengers in the 2018 Outlander. Or be adventure-capable and energy-efficient with the all-new 2018 Outlander PHEV. Hurry into your local Mitsubishi Motors dealer. Exciting offers end July 5th. Special financing and option of deferred payment available through Ally Financial. Subject to approved credit and insurance. Price, terms, and vehicle availability may vary. May not combine with factory cash rebates. See your participating dealer for details. Offer valid from June 1st through July 5th, 2018.
I'm attorney Matt Hoffman with Battleborne Injury Lawyers. Do you think insurance companies want you to hire an attorney? Why do you think they hire celebrities for their commercials? Do they hire them to gain your trust? Don't be fooled. Insurance companies want to pay you as little as possible. And it's my job to maximize your recovery and make sure you don't get ripped off. If you've been injured, call me, Matt Hoffman, or Justin Watkins at Battleborne Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. That's
570-9000.
Budweiser Dollar Beer Night is here again this Thursday and presented by VisitLaughlin.com. Then, don't miss another fantastic fireworks post-game show presented by Finley Toyota. Saturday is another 51's jersey giveaway. Root, root, root against Reno this weekend at Cashman Field. Gates open at 6 p.m. with the first pitch at 7:05. Get your tickets today at LV51.com.
Dr. Michael Crivetti of Crivetti Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is a board-certified orthopedic surgeon who specializes in cutting-edge technology for hip and knee joint replacement. He's focused on maintaining very low infection and complication rates, excellent post-operative pain control, and most importantly, successful outcomes. These ideals are supported by a 99.8% patient satisfaction rating for his innovative outpatient surgical and recovery suites where you'll recover like a rock star. Get back in your game today by visiting CrivettiOrtho.com.
It's hot inside the kitchen and you don't want to stand next to the grill in the heat. There's only one thing to do. Make a call to Napoli's Pizza Anytime Specials. Call in the number 2, the original 30-inch party pizza with 4 toppings and a 2-liter soda for $35.99. Or the number 6, 8 chicken fingers, 20 cooked any way you want delicious wings, a 16-inch pizza, 1 topping, and a 2-liter soda for only $43.99. No cooking in the summer heat. It's Napoli's to the rescue.
So, how'd you sleep last night? If you can't answer like a baby, Dave, then you really, really, really need to come see me. Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress, and I can get you a peaceful, relaxing night's sleep for a whole lot less than you think. Right now, during our 4th of July sale, get your choice of a Beautyrest Plush or a Serta Perfect Sleeper Memory Foam Queen Mattress for just $3.99. Yeah, I thought you'd like that. Shop Best Mattress today, home with a 120-day guarantee. Sleep easy, friends.
Right now at Findlay True North Volkswagen, it's now time you better get a Jetta. The all-new, totally remixed, redesigned, and practically reinvented 2019 Jetta S is now here, and it's ready for you. Several in stock starting at $19,958. Visit Findlay True North Volkswagen, located in the northwest at Centennial Hills. We put the value in Volkswagen. Exit US 95 at Ann Road, head north to Azure Drive. On approved credit, MSRP 2645. Good on in-stock units only, plus tax, $29.25 title fee, and $499 dock fee. Expires 6/30/18.
Breaking news, men. A 2016 clinical trial on controversial natural male enhancement pill known as Red Forterra shows significant improvement in performance and pleasure, enhancing both size and virility. Men, you will be bigger. This trial reveals this new miracle sex pill works on demand. No more waiting, no more wondering, just powerful results. Spouses of the test subjects verified the statistical improvements in their husband's performance and their own resulting sexual satisfaction, noting significant increases after just one pill. Clinical trial data suggests significant improvement in sexual satisfaction and sexual desire in both partners. The science is clear. Better virility, bigger size, more satisfaction with Red Forterra.
Men, you will be bigger. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Let us prove it. Call now to get one free pill free while supplies last. Call 1-800-593-5174. 1-800-593-5174. That's 1-800-593-5174.
Hey, homeowners, listen up. Interest rates are rising, and experts agree they'll continue to rise. So you need to seriously think about refinancing now before rates go up more. The longer you wait, the more interest you might pay. So if you even thought about pulling cash out of the equity in your home to pay off credit cards, car loans, or purchase an investment property, you need to make the cash call now at 855-875-CASH before mortgage rates rise anymore. Cash Call Mortgage can still refinance your loan at a low fixed interest rate for a flat fee of just $995 and will pay all third-party closing costs. Call 855-875-CASH today to begin the quick and easy process. We close most loans in less than 21 days to get you the cash you need fast. That's 855-875-CASH.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA, Cash Call Mortgage, One City Boulevard, Orange, California, 92868, NMLS, 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing, terms, conditions, and restrictions.
That's 855-875-CASH.
Now, back to Cofield and Company.
And the Lady Bing Memorial Trophy goes to William Carlson.
And the Jack Adams Award goes to
Gerard Gallant.
And the winner goes Derek Englund.
The General Manager of the Year is George McPhee.
Thank you for making Las Vegas a wonderful place to live, work, play hockey, and call home. Thank you.
George McPhee, fired up, over the moon, ecstatic. GM of the year, VGK. Sweeps the awards that they finished, or they made it to the finish line on the nominations. And so four awards, you hear them there. NHL awards yesterday. Go to lvsportsnetwork.com, and you can see all the interviews. The 1340 and 98.9 FM crew grabbed LVSportsNetwork.com. And that is the station throughout the summer for great hockey coverage. All the way up until early September. Training camps begin.
Oh, yeah.
It's right around the corner.
Free agency next week.
Season opener, October 4th. Check that. Home opener, October 4th.
Season opener.
Okay. From the awards. Card trick guy. What happened?
Oh, what a failure. It appeared he was trying to do a trick where he was unveiling the winner of the award. It was the Selke Award, I believe. It was for the best defensive forward. And so he was kind of shuffling the cards around, playing them a certain way, and then he was going to lay them out on a table, and it was going to be the photo.
Right, it would be a picture of
Kopitar.
Kopitar, but it was like his foot came up first, then another foot was up top. Then it was just a disaster.
Yeah.
And you could see it going south early. I mean, I don't even know why he kept going.
Well, so what he did is he tried to keep going, and then he tried to, like, kind of pick him up, and, like, he was going to rearrange it and kind of, like, put it into place. But at some point he realized everybody's watching and they know what's happening.
Right.
That he ruined
it. And he shuffled after the third line. Like, the shuffle's not going to do anything. The thing's jacked up already.
Right, he was panicking. So he just kind of stopped, and he was like, yeah, I don't know.
And then someone just jumps in. They're like, winner's Kopitar.
But the worst part is Kopitar sitting right next to him. So I think it would have been like, he does the photo of Kopitar with the cards. Kopitar jumps up. Hey, that's cool. And then he walks up to the thing. But in the end, Kopitar just looks at it, laughs. The guy sticks out his hand to shake his hand, and Kopitar just walks right by him.
Now, I don't think he saw him. I don't think he saw him.
I don't either.
I mean, they're snubs. Funny. That's not a true snub. Plus, if you noticed, Bettman is right in front of him, so I'm sure Kopitar was like more fired up to get by Bettman without a handshake.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And his
sure
dopey grandson.
Yeah, I don't think he's snubbing him, but it is a funny visual of the guy ruining it and then kind of looking up like, nice to meet you. And then Kopitar's like, no, I'm not going to shake your hand, bro. Now, I mean, from everything we've heard, and I will say from being around them for four games, Kopitar seems like a pretty good dude. Like, I don't think he would have just totally snubbed the guy on national TV, but it is funny to think.
That's one of your teams, right?
Yeah. Yeah, one of the teams I covered, for sure.
Love the Kings, love the Sharks.
Yeah, well, that's the only reason I wrote about them, apparently, according to Twitter.
Your love?
Yeah. Where I was like, I'm writing about the other team because that's what I like. That's how assignments work in newsrooms.
It doesn't work that way?
No.
Really?
Definitely not.
So you wouldn't send someone on the road to go cover an event because it was on their bucket list?
They
make a request and they're like, hey, that's on my bucket list. I've always wanted to cover that. And then your bosses are like, okay.
Probably not.
You're not the most qualified, but that's cool.
Yeah, it usually does not work that way.
No?
No.
Weird.
I don't know
where you work.
I can't imagine a workplace that was like that.
It's a bizarre place you're working. How mean.
Yeah.
Everything should be handed down using the niceometer.
I like your
make a request and okay, good. Yeah.
Niceometer.
Yes. I just made that up.
I liked
it. It was brilliant. Brilliant stuff. Barry Trotz has a job.
BT, are you with me? He's gone.
Islanders.
Yes. It was the high profile opening. It was New York. It seemed like a very logical thing when he announced he wasn't coming back to the Capitals. Thought the Islanders were illusion, and it didn't take long. He's there.
Is it a high profile opening?
It's New York.
Is it?
New York. It's all about New York.
Is it?
Yeah. They're getting a new stadium, arena. They're getting a new arena to play in. He can lead them into the new era. I mean, right now they have to play in garbage. Although, I think they're going to split games the next couple of years. But yeah, it's...
You hated the Brooklyn Arena. You just said it was not situated for hockey, not,
yeah, it's horrific.
Not built for hockey.
Awful. But they're getting, the new arena is going to be up by Belmont Park?
Yes.
That's right in the middle of New York, right? As a New Yorker yourself?
Not really.
I know.
No. I mean, it's better for Islanders fans. They're from Long Island, so they didn't want to come to Brooklyn. And like you said, the building sucks
hockey. I actually think they're...
But I'm just telling you, they're the Devils and the Rangers are by far the New York team. Islanders are second ahead of the Devils, but I mean, second and third is so far behind the Rangers.
What if Trotz leads them back to...
Yeah. I mean, high-level winning would help.
No question. I think the only other thing that would help them more than Trotz was certainly re-signing Tavares. But bringing back that fisherman guy. Remember that weird, like, they had the guy in the yellow, like, he almost looked like the Morton's guy from the...
I don't know, I want to see a picture.
Fish sticks?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'll show it to you during the break.
So how come every Tavares story I'm reading never includes the Golden Knights? Yet everyone out here is like, hey, Golden Knights, Tavares.
Yeah.
Puck Daddy, awesome. ESPN.com. Here are all the places the prize center could land. Islanders, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Montreal, Detroit, San Jose, Rangers, and St. Louis.
Yeah.
That's it.
I saw.
That's the second time I've seen a big story on Tavares, and VGK is not included.
Yeah, I saw
the. So what are we missing here? Are we just assuming because this team has money and wants to get better that, they're going to get the best guys?
Yeah, I think that's it. But, I mean, you also heard, around the organization throughout the playoffs, it was going to be, one of the focuses, not publicly, but that was the word that was coming out. So unless they've decided that they're going to be priced out, which is ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
Well, they shouldn't be priced out by anybody. They have the most cap space, and they are coming off a season that was far more successful than they ever could have imagined, both financially and on the ice. I mean, they shouldn't be priced out by anybody. If it's a money thing, they should win. So either they heard something they didn't like, or they found out something they don't like in the locker room, or they're just being coy about their interest. I mean, it's one or the other, but we certainly heard it was going to be one of the priorities in the offseason, and it seems like most of the indications are that it's going to go somewhere else, but we shall see.
NBA draft kicks off in about an hour. We'll be tracking it in the 5 o'clock hour. We got to get you updates on the latest with Kawhi Leonard. What are the odds Kawhi Leonard is traded on draft day? And we'll also set, I think we need to reset the odds on Brandon McCoy drafted or not drafted.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.